She okay. This is where I'm starting when I'm talking about Susie. Okay, do you see that? That's where Susie is.
Hello, Susie.
So yesterday, Susie was over here, and she said something about having a glass of champagne, and I just couldn't get that out of my head. I'm like, oh, my God, that sounds so good. So I went and got a Prosecco, actually. I went and got a bottle. I put it in the refrigerator, got all chilled down. By the time it was cold, I was like, ugh.
Who wants that?
I don't want that. I know. Okay.
You know, it's funny. I looked at Prosecco in my refrigerator last night, too, and went, you don't actually even want to drink. You just want something cold.
Yeah. I don't know. It sounded so good.
Yeah. For that moment. But then you open the whole bottle, and there's only one thing you do with Prosecco.
I know. I have to wait for Susie to come back.
You got to drink it.
Drink it. Okay. So, all right, we'll just go. I think
I'm going to just kind of keep track of, okay, that we said enough about that, like just draw a line or something so I don't, because there's a lot of redundancy kind of stuff, but I didn't know any other way to combine everything. That I was,
right. Yeah. Yeah, and we didn't follow this with London.
No, I wouldn't expect you to.
So
if you do, it sounds stilted, like you're just reading it, you know. So, I mean, it is, and this is the part we really, I mean, the whole applying it to your life is the whole idea of it, you know. But I do think you have to have a little bit of background, too, which is your introduction of, like, what in the hell does that even mean?
Yeah.
When you do it on Kindle, you don't get any cute pictures. You get
right. The pictures are kind of weird, actually. Darn it. I usually write down page numbers.
I did a couple times.
Shoot. Okay. All right. We're recording, so we're ready to start.
All right.
Headset on?
I have it.
And I wonder if it matters left and right. I think there is a little indicator.
Oh, yeah. I think actually there is. Yeah. Okay. Usually. I don't know. These are your headphones.
Now, when I talk, can you hear me in your headset?
No. Talk.
When I talk, can you hear me in your headset?
Now I can. You have to be close, yeah.
Okay. All right, everybody, let's do it. Okay. I don't know why I think I can read any of that with my glasses. I usually make the font really big. Ready? I don't feel like I'm in a good position. Okay. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Life in the Wick podcast. And this is number 2 in a series of 12 or potentially 24. We're talking about Jordan Peterson's book, The 12 Rules for Life. And why did I say 12, potentially 24? Because there's a second book called 12 More Rules for Life. And so we may talk about that as well. So welcome, everybody. As we talk about rule number 2, I'm really excited to introduce you today to my mom, who's my special guest, artist, author, and mom, Tamara Merrill. So welcome, Mom. I'm so glad you're here today.
Hi, Tiff. I'm happy to be here, too. And I love to talk about Jordan Peterson and rule number 2. So I'm excited.
Awesome. It's so fun. I don't know. I mean, so why are we talking about Jordan Peterson? And why are we talking about his 12 Rules for Life? Because his 12 rules for life are something pretty much everybody can agree on as good rules. Well, one of the challenges with Jordan Peterson is that he incorporates religion, science, culture, everything into his writing, which is amazing. But sometimes the just basic, how do I apply this rule to my life, is kind of lost in all that information. And so our goal is to talk about how to apply this rule, rule number 2, which is, I've got to get it right verbatim, which means I probably have to put my glasses on. Treat yourself like someone you are responsible for helping, right? So in our lives, and I think particularly true as women.
I would agree with that. Yes.
We don't really take good care of ourselves in the way that we should. So if you read the book, and I hope you will, he talks about that most people take better care of their pets in terms of medical care than they do of themselves. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Why we don't take good care of ourselves.
Well, some of them are pretty obvious. We are caregivers, so therefore we think we need to care for others, and we forget that ourselves are our first responsibility. And the whole idea of being responsible for yourself and putting yourself first almost sounds like something we've been told never, never to do, that it's not nice. You're not being a nice person. And that's absolutely wrong. And Jordan makes that very obvious that it's absolutely crazy
right.
not to respect yourself.
Right. And why? Why is that a big deal to him? Because if you don't take care of yourself, you cannot possibly do a good job taking care of your life or the other people in your life that you are responsible for. So, and that is kind of the bottom line, right? You have to take care of yourself or you can't take care of others. And, you know, whether that's your job or your family or your kids or your relationships.
Exactly. And while you, I know you're saying to yourselves, but I do take care of my family. I do take care of everybody else. But if you, when we stop and think about it, what do we put first? What do we really take responsibility for? Women in particular put themselves behind the needs of, not even the needs, what we perceive as the needs of other people. So it's like, well, I can't go running today because I have, the children are home. I can't work out because I have to cook dinner.
Right. And it's true. Like we, that is it. Like we tend to put other people ahead. And as my mom was saying, socially, there's a lot of that out there where it's bad to put yourself first. But if you don't, you won't be around to take care of anybody else. So let's just jump right in and talk about some of the ways I guess when we say take care of yourself, we're not just talking about, sorry, my glasses are giving me a problem here. We're not just talking about physical health. There are all kinds of ways that you need to take care of yourself so that you can take care of others. So
I would think emotional, mental health comes before any other kind of taking care of yourself. Because if you don't feel good about yourself, you just don't feel good about anything.
Right.
And when you take responsibility for yourself, the same way you attempt to empower your children by allowing them to take responsibility for something and then acknowledging that they did, it's too easy not to do that. You just never follow through on what's really emotionally good for you. And if you aren't in a good emotional space, how will you be in a good financial, medical, physical, any space?
Right, but all those are the same. If you're not in a good financial space, you're not in a good emotional space. If you're not in a good spiritual space, you're not in a good mental health space.
True.
I mean, like, so I think that's
one
important.
Builds on the other.
Right, yeah. Like all of those components. So when we talk about taking care of yourself, your career, if you've got one, and maybe your career is a homemaker, that maybe is your career. Are you taking good care of yourself there? Are your physical health? Are you taking care of yourself physically? Your financial health, spiritual, emotional, mental, the health of your relationships. Are you taking care of those? And all of those things.
All of those. And they all are combined and they all happen at the same time.
And so you need to be aware. So how do you do that? How do you set yourself up? I mean, and I guess that's the whole premise of what we're talking about today. How do you take this role and look at it and then apply to your life? So
Where do you begin?
And I would challenge everyone to write a value statement. I don't know if that's the right word. Make a list. Like if you're listening now or watching now, and you can jot something down.
Well, I would say physically create what you consider a list. Don't just think about it. Actually, on a piece of paper, on the chalkboard, in the sand, wherever you are, think about this and think about, write it down so you can double check yourself. I don't know how else to say that. It's just a goal, right?
Yeah, I hate to use the word goal because people shy away from the word goal. because goals can be big and hairy and scary. And then if you don't meet a goal, then you feel bad about that. But boy, there is no other way. And writing it down, I know those of you who've followed along with me in the Totally Tiffany world, you know, one of my favorite quotes is, goals not put to paper are seeds without soil, and they'll blow away in the wind. So you got to write it down, people.
And because I've lived with Tiffany a long time, and I am not, I admit it, I do not write down my goals, but I visualize my goals, I vision board my goals, I draw pictures of my goals,
right,
which is exactly the same thing. So the fact that I say I'm rebelling against writing goals, obviously I'm writing goals.
Right. And that's important to point out, right? Things work differently. Some people need to write out paragraphs about their goals. Some people need a bullet point list. Some people need a vision board about those goals. Whatever works for you, but you have to put it down, even if it's not a goal, even if it's just a list. So if I would encourage you to write this list. How am I taking care of myself? Career, spiritual health, mental health, physical health, financial health, relationship health. Am I missing anything?
I'm not sure where you went, but because my brain was going to something else. So I would encourage you to actually include in this goal, I don't know how to, in your vision board, whatever it is, where you are now and where you, where that you want to go. Because how do I know how to take care of myself, how to be responsible for myself when I already think I am?
Right.
I you know, and yet I'm listening to you today and us today, and I am interested in Jordan Peterson. Maybe I've even read this book. And so I know there are some things that I need to change. And so I think you need to identify those, and maybe you identify them as a goal. As you identify in your head, okay, physically I don't like my body. No woman likes her body, but be honest. You know, are you really not taking care of your physical health? Okay, what do I need to? Where do I want to be? And then you can. So it's all kind of wrapped in the goal of this is something I would like to change.
Right,
so spiritually. I'm active in my church. I have a close group of people. Maybe not in every single piece of your life. Maybe some places you are acting responsibly, yeah. I guess, is what
well,
I'm trying
and
to
I
say.
Think that the bigger value of writing down a list is even just recognizing that there are all these other things that are part of you, and are you taking care of those things? Because like you said, there may be parts of that where you feel like, you know, my financial health is good. My spiritual health is good. Oh, my relationship might need some help here or there. But I think acknowledging, like even noticing that those things are
important.
A thing, right, that you should be taking care of. And honestly, I think there's a couple of quotes in here. If you're not challenged, I mean, that leads to all kinds of resentment and laziness. And that's a snowball of not good things, right? So if you believe you're perfect at something, you're not.
You're probably not taking a good look.
Right.
You're fooling yourself. I think what I was trying to say is that if you look at what would your life look like if you were really and truly taking care of yourself in all of these aspects that we've talked about, the relationships, the financial, the career, the home, the
physical,
all of them. And that's how you write your goals. What would it look like if I was really taking care?
Right. If you're like the vision board method of this is what I want to get to, whether that's verbal or an actual vision board with pictures and such on there. And then taking those steps, I think like, what's my next step? And one of the words that bothers me is deserve.
Yes.
And right?
Yes.
And try, if you believe that you deserve something, then you're probably not willing to work for it, right? Mm-hmm. If you deserve it, you've already done the work. So as you're writing your goals, as you're thinking through, or if we're, even if we're calling them goals, as you're writing your...
Let's call them goals.
Yeah, goal. But it's, I don't know. Goals freak people out. Don't get freaked out by goals. Goals are amazing, right? If you, I think that's one of the themes all the way through this book, is that if you don't aim at something, you will certainly achieve nothing, right? What's the other thing? One of the, I did a podcast, if you don't choose, life will choose for you. That yes. is what happens when you don't aim at something. So,
and it's a choosing over and over again. You don't get to choose this once. You choose it right. over and over again.
And hopefully you build a habit, and the choice, you're always making good choices because your habit
exactly
is that of good choices. So
I think one of the things as you're visualizing your goals is we're all hard on ourselves. We are our hardest critics. But in this case, aim high. What would be the very best thing that could happen? No one is judging this but yourself. And what would be the worst thing that would happen? You fail. Nobody knows, but you failed. And you get to choose something else and do it again.
So, right. And if you fail, that means you're trying.
At least you're working.
You're trying, yeah. right? So I have another, used to have a little another sign in my office that said, success is a bad teacher. And it's true, because when you succeed at things, you never rethink them. You never, it's not challenging, all that stuff. But when you fail at something, it's so easy to, if you can step outside of yourself and look at, why did I fail at this? What did I do wrong? How could I do it better? It really becomes a great lesson in
true.
Life and, yes. you know, in whatever you're doing. So I think that's kind of the key, right? Get your list. What are the things that you need to get healthy about in your life? And I hope you'll share with us, even in the comments, as you listen to this podcast, how you might apply how you did or other ways that you need to get healthy. I mean, I'm sure there are things that yes. we didn't think about. But.
Well, because everybody's things are different. We all have some things in common. We and in the United States, pretty much whatever your career is, homemaker, CFO, I don't care what you are, we would like to be successful in our careers. We would like to be very successful in our relationships of all sorts, our relationships with our children, our relationships with our lovers, our relationships with our dogs and cats. Yep. And which happens to be one of Gloria's points. Treat yourself the same way you treat your cat. You
right.
know, it
yeah.
is, you know.
People take better care of their animals.
Physically and emotionally than they do for themselves. So it is.
But I think that's really the kind of the important thing is like looking, like truly looking at your life. And I think people don't do that. Because they're afraid of what they're going to see, and they don't want anybody to know that they're flawed. And that's one of the beautiful things about this, about going through this process. You can certainly share it with people that you want to share it with, but you don't have to. Like, you can work on yourself without telling anybody mm-hmm. what you're doing. If you are one of those people who is afraid to fail, the only person who will know that you're not moving forward is yourself.
Well, one of my favorite things is to remind myself that I'm not actually able to change anybody else's feelings or anybody else's. The only thing I'm capable of doing is to change my own attitude toward myself and or others and other things. And I'm a little judgmental, so it's something okay. I need to remind myself
but
of.
That's an important thing, right? Like, judging people has become like a bad thing. It's politically, whatever, incorrect to judge people. But you cannot live life and be successful without judging people, your career, all of those things. You have to place judgment on them. You have to be judgmental, or you are not going to move forward, because you have to determine what is right and what is wrong, even if that's just in your own realm.
But
right?
but for yourself.
For
yes.
yourself.
And how do I, is this a value to me? Is this a value I want in my life?
Right.
And if you don't place judgments, you won't be able to do that.
You won't be able to do that, right? And so, yeah. And then we can't offer you any input on how to make a judgment because they're so individual.
They're
so individual and they're so based on your life and your experiences and all that stuff. So
we can say, though, because Jordan Peterson says this, so we can say this. Don't be a bully to yourself. Don't be either a victim or a bully.
Right.
You know.
Right. Don't be a victim or a bully to yourself. That is verbatim. That is what he says in this book. And it's true. So don't let yourself off the hook and become a victim in your own life. And don't be mean to yourself. And one of the other things he talks about is rewarding yourself.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Which is also really important when you meet that goal. And in the paragraph where he talks about that, he says, if you say you're going to give yourself a reward and then you don't, you won't trust yourself and then you won't move forward with other things because you're not going to get the reward. And it sounds ridiculous,
but it's true.
But it's true. And it goes back to, I think we mentioned this in the first podcast. You tell your brain what to think. Your brain doesn't tell you what to think, right? And when you train your brain to behave in the way that you want it to behave and you give it the right information, it is going to make good decisions that follow your goals, objectives, whatever it is, as you move through. So I'm going to put my glasses back on here for a second.
Always good to see what's actually on our notes.
Right. So
the whole part of that, if you're deflecting and blaming somebody else for the situation, those are your feelings. And so it isn't really, they may or may not have done anything to you,
right?
But those are your feelings, and you are not taking responsible care of yourself if you don't examine what is really going on there. And which would allow you to become their victim, but you're bullying yourself when you allow yourself to become their victim.
And so, that was a key statement when you said don't be a victim to yourself or a bully to yourself. So just kind of along that, the thought process of what you can do, so financial health, there's a great quote by Dave Ramsey, and I'm sure someone else said it. Debt is the free man's slavery. And he's speaking about that as in the financial sense when he says that. But it's true in all of these things, right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Who you're indebted to or what you're indebted to for your career. What decisions did you make that maybe you're regretful of those now that have caused that kind of feeling of debt emotionally within your relationships? You don't want to be a slave.
You know, it's an interesting thing because I'm an older woman, and so I'm going to assume some of you are also. And it is sad how often I hear older women talking about how their children owe them something.
Right.
And it's just not true.
Right.
They don't owe you and you don't owe them.
Yes.
You
know? And I think a lot of this is that like self-realization of, are you being a victim because you don't like the way your children are treating you or your coworkers or whatever, so now you're making yourself a victim?
Well, it becomes emotional debt.
If you feel that,
you've got to turn that around.
Yeah. So in all of those senses, like what debts do you have that you need to pay so that you can move forward, and how are you going to get those paid, whether it's financial or whatever?
But it's also financial debt, because to be responsible for yourself means that you have developed the means to care for yourself at whatever level that means for you. But so it is a piece of being responsible for yourself to assure that you have your needs met adequately now, in the future.
Right. And again, it's the same on every level, financial, spiritual, emotional, whatever. Okay, so what are you going to do? Like, what are your big takeaways? Or what do we want you to leave here with today? A list. Write your list.
Yes, a vision for how you will take responsible care of yourself and what that means to you.
And then what are those components of your list? So what we came up with, career health, physical health, mental health,
relationship,
relationships,
spiritual
health. I feel like we're leaving something off. I'm sure you'll think of others, and I hope, again, like I mentioned earlier, that you're coming.
No, you said emotional.
Yeah. And all those things are tied together. And
I'm going to throw one in there that we didn't write down, and that was your challenge. I don't know if you could call that, but challenge health, where you are not afraid to change things and challenge yourself and try different things.
Right.
And experience.
Right.
Not, you know, and that doesn't mean you don't have to jump out of an airplane, although you can if you want to.
Right.
But perhaps
pushing yourself a little bit. Yeah.
Maybe you just need to open the front door and talk to your next door neighbor.
Right.
You know.
Right. Like, yeah, put just a little bit of pushing yourself. So, and how that's all going to manifest. And these can be tiny things. So your brain works in a way that it doesn't matter to your brain whether you've accomplished something major or minor. Yeah. When you're checking something off, your brain loves that, and it gives you this serotonin, and it gives you a little pop of like, I'm great, I figured this out. And it doesn't matter if you just took out the garbage or if you came up with a cure for cancer. Your brain just loves for you to have that moment of success.
Right?
I don't know. Cure for cancer might be a little extreme. You could be really happy over that.
But you could get two checks.
That's right. You get two checks. You got gold stars, whatever you need. But so start with small and achievable things every day. I know a lot of people struggle with that. They want the big finish, but the big finish comes from all those little steps. So if you're not good with money, maybe your goal is, I just need to put $10 a month into a savings account, right? Doesn't sound like a lot.
Don't buy that latte and put that money in your savings bank.
Right. You know? A small goal, yep. $10. There's somewhere in your life that you can cut that out. And some people, a small goal is $100, and some people, a small goal is $1,000. Whatever works for you. But the beauty of checking that off and getting that done is the snowball effect. And it's the same thing when you think about this. Every category is the same. So money's an easy, obvious one. But your relationships, right? Making one small, I'll tell you kind of a funny thing. This is kind of dumb. But my husband always puts his socks in the laundry inside out. And that annoys me. And I was like, why does he have to do this? I'm going to tell him not to do that. And then I thought to myself, that is stupid. Of all the things your husband does for you on a daily basis, and you are going to carry around some stupid resentment about his socks, that's dumb. Turn his socks inside out and count that as a win in your relationship category. So, but there's two things that happened there. I did something for my husband and I let go of a resentment.
Yes.
And resentments are baggage, people. Any little stuff like that, that you can reason into your relationship.
If you're feeling resentment, you're not living responsibly. You need to identify why you're feeling resentment and change that. And if, not Tiffany's case, but if you resent your husband so much that you can't be there anymore, I'm not advocating divorce. I'm just saying you need to take a look at the whole relationship.
Right. What can you do to fix it?
Because it's only you. You can't make him change. You can't. No. You can only make yourself change. No. So I think the bottom line of the whole thing is people are going to listen to us and they're going to think, well, does this just mean if I'm happy, I'm doing it right?
Happy's bullshit, people. Don't chase happy. Happy's a fleeting, irrelevant, emotional response to things. If you are successful, then you will have a rich life. You will have a good life, a productive life. And productivity to the human brain is the thing that
makes us happy.
That, I don't know. Happy's not, happy but, is fleeting, no, right?
Happy,
it's the wrong
totally
word.
The wrong word, but yeah. It is. But it but is when you the feel, fulfilling thing.
Right. Here we go. Jordan, calling on Jordan. It gives your life meaning.
Yes.
And having a meaningful life is what motivates, inspires, and drives you forward to whatever degree you need to be driven forward. So I guess that's it. Doing things, being responsible, gives your life meaning. and we'll move you forward. So we can eliminate the happy words. Sorry. Yes.
That will mean that you're beginning to take responsibility in areas of your life. And
yeah. So I hope you all will take the time, make your list. What are the areas that you need to take more responsibility? And, you know, that snowballs out into your, it's going to improve every bit of your life, but you have to take that first step. So again, I hope you'll note in the comments what you're doing. I'm thinking that I might do my own, for those of you crafty gals that are from the Totally Tiffany side, I'm thinking I might do like a widget book, which you, some of you know about, but that is centered on this, a responsibility book. And maybe I'll share it with you, just like a little notebook.
Oh, I love
about
the idea of a responsibility book.
Responsibility
I mean,
book.
I just like the name of it.
Right.
I want.
Plus,
I want
you just like a journal.
I want
my mom's a writer, so any opportunity you give her to like, can I get a new notebook?
Yeah, I'm happy.
I'll take a notebook. Can I glue things in it and draw pictures?
Now I'm really happy.
I know. It's good stuff. So, all right, everybody. Anything to wrap up, Mom?
I don't think so. I do like Jordan's words that are like, treat yourself as if you were someone you were responsible of taking care of, or what? How does he say that?
That's it. That's
yeah,
it. That's
okay.
The rule.
Because someone you're responsible for helping. I
right.
Believe
someone
he
you're
said.
Responsible for helping.
Because
yes.
You deserve to deserve being the wrong word, but you are capable of giving yourself an amazing life.
Yes.
And
on
enjoy
so
it.
Many levels.
On
so
many
levels.
Yes.
So I did want to say, I did want to look here. About especially where parenting is concerned. We talked about risk.
Just barely touched it though.
Yeah, so there's a couple of quotes within the book, and one of them is, it is far better to render beings in your care competent than it is to protect them. And that you are a being in your care, yes. Right? So it is far better to make yourself competent than to try to protect yourself from all sort of the pain that will go along with making yourself confident, making yourself better at what you're doing.
Which was rather what we were talking about being a victim of yourself.
Right.
If you tell yourself you can't, you're just not capable, you cannot do that, you're making yourself a victim. You make yourself capable and confident. Try it, learn it, do it.
Right. So, and if you're a parent, there was one other quote in there. That says, parents, do you want to make your children safe or strong? Right? Safe or strong. If your children are strong, they won't need safety. They'll be able to make their own safety. And I think that's kind of a goal.
I think right? So. Yes.
And I guess you could apply that to everything. Do you want to make your financial life safe or strong? Your relationship safe or strong? Right?
Actually, that's true. You right. Could. You could apply it to all, it all. Yes.
Right. And strength will help you make good decisions that will keep you safe. Right. So, all right, my friends, thank you so much for listening in today. Mom, thanks for coming over to do this with me.
I liked it. It's always good to talk about this stuff.
I know it's good stuff and it's fun. And, again, my mom will definitely be back. She doesn't really have a choice because she's my mom and she lives about 10 minutes away. So I'm like, hey, read this and come on over. All right,
like
everybody.
It. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.